Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Here's the first one. Dad, I hope you never lose your hair. It's such a nice one. Happy Father's Day. To the man who wears so many hats, now I know it's to really cover up your hair loss. What's this with hair loss and fathers, I tell you, going on here? Dad, do you remember how you always said I couldn't date until I was 40? Was that a curse or something? Dad, thanks to your lectures, I never change horses in the middle of a job worth doing. I know that this squeaky wheel gets the worm, and I never count my chickens until I've walked a mile in their shoes. And you thought I wasn't listening. One of my favorite Father's Day lines comes from actually a gift, a coffee mug my kids gave me a few years ago on Father's Day. And we have a picture of it up on the screen there. It says, Dad, he's a man who gives great advice and is always encouraging and protective. Number two, he's the coach of all sports and teacher of all subjects. And number three, also known as the one with the wallet. How many dads would say, oh me? Not amen, but oh me on that one, huh? You know, those are humorous definitions and descriptions of a dad. And this morning, I want us to define, what does a dad look like? What does a dad look like? Because in our society, the picture of a father is something that has really been lost. In fact, many places, many kids have no dads. And so we want to talk about, what does it mean to be a dad? A month ago on Mother's Day, we talked about, what does it mean to be a mother? And we used the acrostic of mother to lay out what a mother is. And we're going to do the same thing for dads today. Using the word father, we're going to define a dad. What is a dad? And so now, if you're here, and this is not just for the dads, okay? Young ladies, all single girls, listen up. You want to look for a guy that has these qualities, okay? This is the kind of guy you want to look for. Young men, these are the qualities that you want to aspire to take on your life so that you can be a great husband and a great father. Ladies, if you're married, you're stuck with him. So pray for him to be a great dad and encourage him in that, and also raise your sons in these aspects. Okay. Let's get going, and as we get into these, I just want you to know, I have not mastered these, not by a long shot. If you think otherwise, just ask my children, they'll tell you I have not arrived, okay? But the letter F in father, it stands for faithful. If you're taking notes this morning, on the back of your bulletins, we have our sermon notes, and the letter F stands for faithful. Dads are faithful. They're always there. You can depend on dad. And this morning, we're going to be looking at different places in the Bible, scriptures that talk about references to God our Father, because He's the ultimate Father, or other dads, other men that were great fathers. And we're going to see these scriptures that give us this definition of a dad. And the first one we're going to look at is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. This is what God is saying about Himself. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God has said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That word never is a double negative in the original language. It carries the meaning of not by any means. No circumstance, no person, no situation, not by any means will I leave or forsake you. And the word leave means to send back, to loosen or relax one's care, to not uphold you, to let you sink. That's what it means. The word forsake means to leave behind, to abandon, to leave helpless. And so God is saying, not by any means, there is nothing, there is no situation that will cause me to relax my care for you. I'm holding on to you. I haven't loosened my embrace upon you. I won't let you sink. I'll hold you up. I won't walk out on you when everyone else is walking out on you. I won't leave you deserted. I won't leave you helpless. Even though the world runs out on you, I won't run out on you. That's what God says. and that is a picture of a perfect father. That's what a father does. A father does not walk out. A father is faithful and always there. To describe a faithful father, it might be easier to show you. We're going to show you a video clip from the movie Courageous. If you'd watch the screens this morning. That's a faithful dad. Dads hang on no matter what. No matter how tough things are in the family, no matter if there's sickness, no matter if there's problems, no matter what comes, dads are faithful and they hold on to their family. They're not going to walk out on them. They're not going to abandon them. They are there. And it's not just being there, being around them, but being faithful means I keep my word. I keep my promises. If I say I'm going to go to a concert, I go to the concert. It means being truthful and honest. It means keeping my vows to my wife, that I'll be faithful to her, and not just in body, but also in my thoughts, in what I watch and what I think about. It means that I'm faithful, that there's a security that my kids know they can come to me for support and advice, that I'm a kind of person that they can depend on me. And sometimes if we haven't been as faithful as we need to be, we've lost trust, and it might take time to earn that back. But dads, I want to encourage you to be faithful. Be faithful. The kind of person that you know your family knows, no matter what happens, you're going to hang on to them and you're always there for them. That's the first quality of a dad. A dad is faithful. Okay, let's move on. The letter A in the word father stands for attitude setter. Dads are attitude setters. We set the attitude. We set the temperature of what's taking place. In Joshua 24, Joshua had just finished leading the armies of Israel and defeating the major pagan nations in the Promised Land, and he's getting ready to disband the army so they can go to their tribal allotments and they take care of the minor peoples that are there, the minor enemies that they need to drive out. And in doing so, he challenges the people of Israel to not pick up the false idols that these other nations had left behind. He says, I want you to follow after God. And this is what he says in Joshua 24, verse 15. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, and that would be the gods back in Egypt, because Israel did serve some of those gods, unfortunately, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Joshua set the tone. He set the attitude in his family. He says, hey, our house, we're going to serve God. This is who we're going after. God is going to be our passion. And Joshua's passion was so strong that the nation of Israel, everyone followed him. In fact, we're told in verse 31, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. In other words, the leaders that Joshua influenced. And only after those men died did they start serving other gods. That was the kind of passion that Joshua had for God. It influenced the whole nation. Dads, you're like a thermostat. The other night, our thermostat was locked, and I couldn't adjust it. And there was no directions on how to unlock the thermostat. And I thought, we are going to freeze in here. And I couldn't figure it out. So thank God I could get online. And I looked up the thermostat we had, and thank goodness it was on there. And one person on there says, I can't believe these idiots didn't put directions on how to unlock the thermostat. That's what it said, okay? Thermostats adjust things up and down. And dads, you are the thermostat of your family. You set the spiritual temperature of the home. If it's going to be cold and complacent, or if it's going to be hot after God. And so you, in your passion for God, do your kids see you reading the Word and praying? Are you talking about it? Is God a priority in your life? We need to set an attitude that God comes first, an attitude that is passionate about Jesus. There was a study that was once done, and it said if you had 100 children saved and 100 wives saved and 100 husbands saved, what was the percentage of families where the whole family came to Christ? When it came to where the kids were saved, none of the parents, it was like about 9% of the families would come to Christ. If it was the wives, it was like around 17 to 23%. But when it came to dads, if the dads got saved, 93 families came to know Jesus. That's the power of a father. Dads set the tone. So dads, I encourage you to be like Joshua and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We're going to be passionate for God. But also in your attitude, it's not just your passion for God, it's what are you like when you come home? You've had a really rough day, and when you come home, do you kick the cat, say, what's for dinner? And plop down in the television and just watch TV, and someone asks you something, what do you want? If we have a negative, our attitude when we come home from work can set the tone of the house. And so it's not just having this passion for Jesus, because if we're grumps and negative and miserable, our kids are going to say, is that what a Christian's about? Is that what a Christian's about? So having an attitude that's not only positive for God, but positive about life. And there are some days you might have to sit in the car a few minutes and recalibrate your attitude. I know there's days I've had to do that. There are some days I haven't done that really well. Amen, kids? Yeah, they're shaking their heads really big. Dads, we're attitude setters. We're thermostats, all right? So fathers are faithful, they're attitude setters. Letter T in father stands for tender and tough. tender and tough. Dads tend to go to one extreme or the other. Either we're too hard on the kids or we're too easy on them. Sometimes we exercise too much control or we're too lax. And the Apostle Paul recognized the need for balance in this when he wrote to fathers in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. He said, "Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Dads, don't exasperate your kids. Don't be overbearing. Don't be harsh. Don't make them angry and frustrated. But at the same time, they need appropriate boundaries. Bring your kids up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The word training implies educating and teaching your kids along with physical discipline. Ouch. Chastisement. It implies that you're training them with physical discipline. And so there's boundaries. They just can't get away with everything, but at the same time, we're not so harsh that we exasperate them. And it really takes walking closely with the Holy Spirit to know when we need to extend the boundaries, when we need to extend grace, when we're being too harsh, and when we need to hold firm. And it really takes being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, what He is saying in those situations. There was a father in the Bible who really failed at this whole tough and tender bit. His name was Eli, and he was a priest of Israel, the high priest. His sons were rebelling, and they were living a very ungodly life, and Eli said nothing about it. They were priests ministering in the house of God. It says in 1 Samuel 3:13, "I have told him, Eli, I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them." He did not rebuke them. It's important that we rebuke the wrong, that we put a stop to wrong, but we need to do it with the right kind of heart and the right kind of attitude. We never discipline out of anger. We never discipline in public. We need to discipline privately and with self-control and gentleness, having the fruit of the Spirit in our lives being exercised at all times. Tough and tender, that's what a dad is. So let's review, okay? Dads are letter F. They're what? Faithful. The letter A, attitude setters. The letter T, tough and tender. The letter H in the word dad stands for husband. Husband. If you want to be a great dad, you must first be a great husband. Gary Ezzo said this. He said, "The greatest overall influence you'll have on your children will not come in your role as a dad or a mom, but as a husband or wife. Parents must view the husband-wife relationship as the priority relationship in the family. More important than anything you can buy or do for your children, they need to know that dad loves mom and that mom loves dad. Together, you are the head and heart of the family." Someone once said, "You'll never be a better parent than you are a spouse." And you know what? I remember when our kids were little, it was easy to put the kids first and all their activities and all their needs, and my wife and I got the leftovers. But we had to make our marriage a priority. When our kids were little, we practiced something called couch time, where I came home from work, maybe the first 5 minutes, it was, "Mom and I, we're going to sit down, we're going to connect." Because a lot of times what happens is mom and dad don't take any time till the kids are off to bed, so the kids never see mom and dad together. They don't know that mom and dad love each other. They don't see them talk. They don't see them kiss each other, hug each other. They don't see them express affection. They don't see them taking any time, and they think the world revolves around them. It is good for your kids to know the world does not revolve around them. Yeah, I got a lot of amens on that. And so make your marriage a priority. Date one another. Love one another. Show that affection. Your kids need to know, men, that you love your wife, you're passionate about her, and she's the most important person on the planet. She's the second most important relationship right next to God. Your marriage needs to be strong. And not only Great husbands put their marriage a priority, but they're servant leaders. That's what Paul said in Ephesians 5. He says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Jesus was an unselfish servant leader. He put our needs before his own needs. And as husbands, we need to be the greatest servants in the household. If we're great husbands, that models for our sons what they need to be like, and they can know what a healthy home looks like and how to love their wife. Being a great husband is one of the greatest things we can do as a dad. One of the greatest things we can do as a dad. Okay, fathers are faithful. The letter A, attitude set. The letter T, tough and tender. The letter H, great husbands. The letter E stands for encourager. Encourager. We need to encourage. And by the way, that goes for single dads. Single dads, being a great husband, maybe you're not with your spouse anymore, you need to speak highly of your wife and not disparage her. Okay? Because that is not good. So encourage your kids to respect their mother. It's a blessing. But we need to encourage our spouse and encourage our kids. This is what the psalmist said. I'm going to read from Psalm 8 in the message. God, brilliant Lord, yours is a household name. I look up at your macro skies, dark and enormous, your handmade sky jewelry, moon and stars mounted in their settings. Then I look at my micro self and wonder, why do you bother with us? Why take a second look our way? You put us in charge of your handcrafted world, repeated to us your Genesis charge, made us lords of sheep, cattle, and even animals out in the wild. The psalmist was recognizing, I know we're sinners, I know we've blown it, and we are so tiny in the scope of things, but when you compare, when God looks at us, God doesn't treat us as horrible, rotten people. God has elevated us. He's esteemed us. He believes in us. And as dads, we need to believe in our kids. I should be my kids' biggest fan. I should be their biggest cheerleader, not just at sports games, but in all of life. Do we believe in our kids? Well, yeah, I believe my kids are going to screw up all the time. No. Believe that your kids have a destiny from God, that your kids are uniquely designed and shaped, and God has put them together in a beautiful way and a powerful way because he has a plan. He has great things in store for them. And to call those things out, to call out great things, and let your kids know that, hey, I know you're an awesome person. I know God has great things in store for you. Dads are encouragers. We're our kids' biggest fan. All right, let's wrap this up. The letter R in the word father stands for role model. Fathers are role models. Earlier in the message, we showed a video clip from the movie Courageous. And in that movie, there was a policeman in there who was stealing drugs. He would take a little bit out of every drug bust, and then he would sell it so he could make some extra money. He had taken an oath along with some other men, some other police officers, of what kind of man they were going to be, but it was just all talk for him, and there was no walk involved. He said it, but he didn't do it. And dads, one of the greatest things that we can be is to be a role model. We set the example for our families. Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church. He was their spiritual father. He came to them, and they were saved under his ministry. And this is what he said as their father in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 14 to 16. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. Imitate me as I imitate Jesus. That's really what every dad's goal should be. To look at our sons and our daughters and our wife and say, imitate me, do what I do, because my attitudes, they're like Jesus. My words are like Jesus, what Jesus would say. My actions are what Jesus would do. Where I go, that's where he would go. What a big bill to fill. What a great challenge. I know there's many times I don't measure up. I need God's strength. I need his grace to do that. But that's one of the things that I want to aspire to set an example for my family and for others, saying this is the way. This is the way to go. Walk in it. And one of the big things that really helps me in walking the walk is to have an accountability partner. I meet with another guy regularly, and we ask each other tough questions. Questions like, have you spent adequate time in prayer and in the Word of God? Have you given your wife the love and the time and the affection that she needs? Have you been anywhere with a person of the opposite sex that could put you in a compromising position? Have your financial dealings, have they lacked integrity? Have you exposed yourself to any sexually explicit material? What's your thought life lie? And the last question is, have you just lied to me? We need people that will come along and will spur us on, guys. We need armor bearers. Iron sharpens iron. I encourage you, if you don't have someone, an accountability partner, find someone that you can be accountable with to help you be the role model. As we close this morning, I want to share a poem, and it's called The Little Chap Who Follows Me. It says, a careful man I want to be, a little fellow follows me. I do not dare to go astray for fear he'll go the selfsame way. I cannot once escape his eyes, whether he sees me, whatever he sees me do, he tries. Like me, he says I'm going to be, that little chap who follows me. I must remember as I go through summer suns and winter snows, I am building for the years to be, the little chap who follows me. There's little chaps and little chapettes who are looking at the role model of their father. And there's big chaps and big chapettes that are looking. There's little feet that will go where we go, little hands that'll do what we do, little ears that will listen to what we listen to, little mouths that will say what we say, little eyes that will watch what we watch. As a dad, I need to be a great role model that they could say, do what I do because that's what Christ does.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.